Okay, it's working. Okay. So we find ourselves now in the month of Kislev. We're approaching the holiday of Hanukkah. I thought it was very appropriate to, you know, delve in a little bit and to discuss the time that we find ourselves in and what exactly is going on in this month. In fact, in Judaism, we have a concept of Koach HaZman, that every time in our lives, every month of the year, every holiday is endowed, is embedded with a unique power, a unique koach. And by figuring it out, we have to figure it out in order to access it. What's going on? What is special about the time that we find ourselves in? In fact, the word mazal, the word for zodiac sign, comes from the word nozel, which means to drip. Because in every month, in every time of the year, Hashem drips down this special koach, this special power. So every koach, every month has its own unique spiritual essence, and we have to try to figure out what it is and how to tap into it so we can better access that power. It's not that we believe that Pesach happens in Nisan and therefore Nisan is a month of Geula, but rather Nisan has this unique power of Geula, this unique power of redemption, therefore allowing the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, to occur, and allowing the future Geula, that we say Asi Dinli Higael, that in the future we will also be redeemed in Nisan, because Nisan is embedded with this unique power. And we know this about Adar. They say if you want to be Matzliach, Adar is a lucky month for the Jews, so if you have to make a court date, you should make it in Adar, because Adar has this month of luck. And on the opposite side, we have the month of Av, which we know is a month of misfortune, a month that every year throughout history, bad things happen and to the Jewish people, because we know that Av is this sad time, this time that's quote-unquote dangerous. We refrain from doing certain activities because of the power and the misfortune that usually occurs in Adar, in Av. Furthermore, when we look at the months of the year, when we look at the cycle, we don't look at the year or the calendar as a circle. I go Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and I go around, and every year I come back to the same point. But rather, when we understand the unique kochos, the unique powers of the year, and we go through the year, and we tap into and actualize those powers, it propels us forward. So that our life is not a circle, but a spiral. And that if I'm here, Kislev, this year, and I understand the unique powers of Kislev, and I tap into it, and I actualize it, next year when I come to Kislev, I'm one rung higher. And then the next year, I'm one rung higher. So, with that in mind, let's get to the bottom of it. What is this month of Kislev? So first, in order obviously to understand something, we have to understand what does the word Kislev mean? So, and to look, to understand what a word means, we have to look to where it is referred to in Tanakh. And if you look into Sefer Iyov, the Pasuk writes, Im Samti Bazahav Kisli, which means, did I place my trust in gold? And then we have in Mishlei another Pasuk which writes, Ki Yeh Hashem B'Kislecha, Hashem will be your trust, your leaning post. So we see that the word Kislev means trust. Because Kislev is that special time of the year that we have to work on our emunah, on our bitachon, on our trust, and on our faith. So in order to develop this idea, we have to look into all the aspects of the month. Every month is assigned a letter, obviously a name which we touched upon. It's assigned a zodiac sign, a mazel, and there's also certain unique events that occur during that month that shed light upon the essence of the month. So let's start with the letter of the month. The letter of the month of Kislev is the Samach. So what does the Samach represent? The actual structure of the letter is similar to a circle. A Samach has a line on top and then like almost a whole circle on the bottom. And when we write out the word Samach, we write that it's called the Miloy. It's Samach Mem Chaf Sofis, which means comes from the root of the word Lismoach or Somich, which means to depend or to be dependent on. Then this comes back to the basis of our Bitachon, that Hashem is encompassing us like the circle of the Samach, and that He's taking care of us, and that we are Somich, we are dependent on Him. The Samach is the letter of Bitachon. Like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim, that Hashem supports all those that are falling. Hashem is always there and He supports us, so we never fall into a situation that there's no kayama, there's no ability to get back up. Hashem always gives us that strength to get back up afterwards. The koach of the samach is like the koach of sovev, of the samach, that Hashem is encircling us and kind of like giving us that cushion so that we never really fall completely. And what is that bitachon? The bitachon is that Hashem is the mastermind and He's taking care of me. It does not mean that I will never stumble. It does not mean that I won't face obstacles and that things won't be tough. But when I do, I recognize that they are from Him, and He's going to help me up after them. And the goal is to make me a better, stronger person. The pasuk says, "Kol hamachala asher samti b'mitzrayim, any ailment, any affliction that I put upon you in Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, I won't put upon you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem your healer." Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I lived in Israel, and I know what it's like to comb lice out of a six-month-old baby. You know, we know that some of the things that we had in Mitzrayim, we do struggle with. So what is this pasuk saying? I mean, before you can let your kid get into yeshiva, you have to go for a lice check, and I'm sure there are other things as well. So what's the answer? The answer is that all of the machalos, all of the ailments that Hashem put upon us in Mitzrayim, that Hashem put upon the Egyptians in Mitzrayim, were for one purpose. They were to punish. They were a patch. They were, you were not listening. You did not let my people go. This is a slap on the wrist. But when Hashem sends B'nai Yisrael an ailment, when He sends us a machla, it's coming from the aspect of Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am Hashem your healer. And if something is coming and then it's a little difficult and it seems like a patch or an ailment, it's from the aspect of I want to make you better. It's not the mode of destruction like was in Mitzrayim. And thus Hashem is there to support us through it. The pasuk writes, Someich Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Hashem supports, Hashem helps those that are falling. It doesn't say that Hashem is mekim, Hashem picks us up, because Hashem never lets us fall completely. There's no such time that we fall into a place that we can never get back up. It's very interesting when you look at the samachs in Tanakh, there's this dichotomy in the letter samach. The first two times we see the letter samach in Tanakh is in Perek Beis of Bereishis. The first is when it's talking about the rivers in Gan Eden, and it talks about the rivers that are flowing out of it, and it says that they are sovei, they encircle, they go around. And then the second place, again, is in Perek Beis of Bereishis, when we're talking about creating Chava from Adam, and it uses the word vayizkor, like soger, to close. These two words demonstrate the two different aspects of the letter Samach. We have the aspect of soger, to enclose, which is what happens when the Yetzer Hara kind of traps us. He encloses us. He makes us feel like there's no way out. We're trapped. There's a certain level of darkness, and we can't see. We don't know where to go or how to turn. We're kind of stuck in a bad place. But then comes the samach of sovev, the samach of kedusha, the samach that Hashem is encircling us, the samach that Hashem is protecting us and giving us the strength so that we should not fall completely and that we have this ability to get up after this fall. Additionally, we find the two samachs again in the two places in the Aseres Hadibros where the letter samach is mentioned. The letter Samach is mentioned when we're talking about Lo Taselecha Pesel, you should not make for yourself an idol. And that Samach is going back to the Samach of the word Soger. The Yetzer Hara comes up to us, he closes in on us, and he convinces us that we should make some sort of inanimate object an idol. But then we also have the other aspect of the Samach in the Aseres Hadibros. The other place that Samach is mentioned, the Aseres Hadibros, the Samach of Sovev, the Samach of when Hashem encircles and protects us. And that Samach is in the word Chesed, like we say, Notzer Chesed La'alafim. The Chesed of Hashem, that He encircles us, that He allows us to come back, the Koach HaSlicha, that He supports us, that we won't fall. And if we do fall, and we do slip up, He gives us that unique ability to come back, and to return, and to uplift ourselves. It's also very interesting. There are only two psukim in Tanakh that start with the letter Samach. and they too reflect this dichotomy of the letter Samach. The first pasuk we find by Chayit HaEgal, the pasuk says, Suru maher min aderach, quickly remove yourself from this path. And the second is in Parsha Shlach, the pasuk starts with Slachna, please forgive. The Ohel Hashem says that these two psukim again represent the dichotomy that we see in the Aseres Hadipros. The first samach by Chayit HaEgal is the samach of Lo Taselecha Pesel. Do not make for yourselves an idol. The samach that we find in Bereishis of Soger, when the Yetzer Hara is closing in on us, when he is contaminating our hearts, when he is removing the light and enveloping us in darkness. But then we have the second samach, the samach of Kedusha, the samach of the pasuk that starts with Slachna, please forgive. The samach that we find in the Aseres HaDibros has to do with Noser Chesel Alafim, the samach of Tshuva, the samach of Sovev, the samach of when Hashem envelops us and encircles us and gives us that extra cushion and protects us from completely falling and giving us that push back, that spring back up to allow Him to come back to Him. As we say, Yado Pshuta L'Kabel Kol Shavim, Hashem's arm is always outstretched to bring us back, to bring us close. And we see in life, we always have these two aspects of the Samach. We too have this dichotomy in our lives, that we have a point in our lives that we slip up and the Yetzer Hara gets the better of us. But we also have the Samach of the Kedusha, the Samach of Hashem enveloping us and helping us and encircling us so that we don't fall and allows us to do tshuva. So what happens? We're in a situation and it's not so great and we feel like we're falling. We have to grab onto something. So what do? We have to grab onto Hashem. How? Through the concept of Kabbalas Oma Choshamayim. We have to accept upon ourselves Hashem's kingship and place our trust in Him. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin writes, that Eliyahu says, I'm going to teach you something, Bnei Yisrael, a survival tactic. You want to know how to get through things? You want to know how to live? This is what you need to do. Every single day, you need to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. In fact, the Gemara in Sota writes, that even if we don't have any merits, any zuchuyot, but we only have the merit of saying Kriya Shema every day, it's kedai for Hashem to save us just for that. So what does this pasuk mean? This pasuk of this Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, this survival tactic, this merit that's the ultimate schus to be saved. So when we look at the pasuk, we say Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem our God, Hashem is one. What does this mean? And when we look at the words Hashem, Hashem we know represents Hashem, the God of Rachamim, you know, the quote-unquote God that we perceive as good, the good God. And then we have Elokeinu, the God of Din, the God of Judgment, the God of Punishment, you know, how we could perceive the bad God. But really, ultimately, Hashem Echad. It's all one God, and it's all Hashem. It's all the good God, the God of Rachamim. That we understand that in our lives, when we have good things and we have bad things, they're really all tailor-made for us, and they're all coming from that one source. It's coming from the God of Rachamim, the Hashem of Rachamim, the Hashem Echad. And if we understand this and recognize this, this is the way that we can actually come out on top. Because in reality, Banim Atem LaHashem, we are all Hashem's children. And when we recognize that just like a parent really only wants the best for their child, and we recognize that we are Hashem's children, we know that no matter what happens to us in life, it's that concept of Hashem only wanting the best for us. Bitachon is that I get what I need, and the one who provides it for me really only wants the best for me and always loves me, and no matter what happens, he's going to get me through it. In fact, under the chuppah, the chassan gives the kala a ring, and the Zohar writes that the ring represents the letter Samach, because this is the foundation of the Jewish home. How do we build a house of Kedusha? How do we build a Jewish home? It's through this letter Samach. It's through the letter of Bitachon. Knowing that whatever happens in my life, Hashem is right there with me, no matter good, no matter bad. Hashem is going to help me and support me through it. And no matter what, He's providing me with the best. Bitachon is the complete opposite of Teva, of natural. Teva dictates A leads to B. Bitachon says, such a thing that does not exist. Why? Because ultimately, everything is Be'at Hashem. Everything is in God's hands. And therefore, we have to trust Him because He really can change anything and everything. This concept of bitachon is the yesod of who we are as a Jewish nation. In fact, when we look to the conception of the Jewish people, we see this. We go back to Sefer Bereishis. We have our Abraham and we have Sarah. And we look at the story surrounding the birth of Yitzchak. It's very interesting. At the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. And what's Abraham's reaction? Vayipol Abraham al panav, vayitzchak, vayomer bilibo, haleven meyashana yulad, ve'im sarah habas tishim shana teled. He falls on his face and he laughs. He says, I'm 100. My wife is 90. We're going to have a child? Then, at the beginning of the next parsha, Parshas Vayera, we have the story of the malachim coming to tell Abraham, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And what happens? Sarah overhears the conversation. And when she overhears the conversation, what is her reaction? Vatitzchak Sarah bikirba, leimor. Acharei bilti haisali edna va'adoni zaken. She laughs. She says, I no longer have the capacity to have a child. And my husband is old. I'm going to have a child. And then Hashem turns to Avram and he wants to know, well, why did Sarah laugh? He says, Lama zet tzachaka Sarah. And Sarah says, Lo tzachati, I did not laugh. And then a year later, Sarah gives birth and Abraham names the child. And what does he name him? Yitzchak. And then we have what Sarah says. And Sarah says, Vatomer Sarah, Tzchok asali Elokim, Kol HaShomea Yitzchak li. Sarah says, Hashem has made laughter for me. Whoever hears will laugh. What is the Torah driving at by reiterating tzchok? What is this repetition? When we look at it, it's standing out at us. The pasuk keeps on writing, tzchok, tzchok, tzchok. What is the nature of tzchok? And why do we keep on repeating it? What is it that it's so focused on in this context? So when you look at what is human laughter, you'll find that what causes us to laugh? It's when there's a sharp and improbable juxtaposition of opposites. When a process is going in one direction and it suddenly and total and completely turns to the opposite, something totally unexpected, laughter is generated. In fact, the more extreme the contrast, the more intense the laughter. And this is true even when things are not funny at all. Like with a practical joke, when you have this pompous man and he falls on a banana peel. It's funny because it's exactly the opposite of what you would have expected. We laugh when something is so far from what we have anticipated, it seems almost absurd. Like a person who goes bankrupt and wins the lottery on the same day. It's laughable. We see this from Avram and Sarah's reaction to the information that they were going to have a child. Avram was very old. Sarah was far beyond childbearing age. In fact, the Gemara tells us that Sarah was intrinsically infertile. She had no womb. When these two people, who were totally devoid of any possibility of having a child, were told that they would have a child, they laughed. Yes, they were happy. But usually when you're happy, you jump up and down, you sing, you smile. But you generally don't laugh. They laughed because the situation was so far from what they would have anticipated. But yet we look that Hashem questions Sarah's laughter, but He doesn't question Avram's laughter. What's the difference? So Rashi explains, Avram believed and he was happy, but Sarah did not. Avram believed despite how absurd the situation seemed, but she lacked faith. In fact, what is Hashem's response to Sarah's laughter? Is anything too wondrous for Hashem? It is this emuna, the emuna that nothing is too wondrous for Hashem, that is the backbone of our people. In fact, it is based on Abraham's laughter that Yitzchak is given his name. Rav Tzedek brings down that the whole creation of the Jewish people was through a nes. Yitzchak was born to parents who were completely devoid of any possibility of having a child. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. It's in order to tell us what? That B'nai Yisrael do not live by the laws of nature. Our existence is completely beyond the natural. And therefore, there is no room to despair, even when the situation seems terrible, because Hayipale me Hashem Davar. Is anything too wondrous for Hashem? Is anything beyond Hashem? Yitzchak is the beginning of the Jewish nation. And this is the essence of his name. When the situation seems so dark, so trying, and so difficult, we have to trust and believe that the seemingly impossible can occur, because we know that nothing is beyond Hashem, and that He can and will save us. And that is the Jewish people. We begin where the impossible ends. Listen to this interesting essay. It's an excerpt of an essay from Mark Twain. He writes, "If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also a way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in the world in all of the ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed, and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up, held their torch high for a time, but it burns out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he has always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive minds. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" Mark Twain recognized the unique nature of the Jew, but he did not understand the lesson of Tzchok, that even when things seem impossible and the odds are against us, the opposite can occur, because there are no odds when it comes to the Jewish people. It's all Yad Hashem. This is our Amuna. This is our Bitachon. And this is what sets us apart from all the other nations. Rav Volbi quotes, and Ali Shor, he quotes the Kuzari. The Kuzari explains that there are five types of creations. We have the Domeim, which is the inanimate object, the rock. We have the Tzomeach, the flowering plant, the flowers, the trees. We have the Chai, the live beast, which is the animal, the medaber, the person who has the ability to speak, and we have the fifth category, which is the Yehudi, the Jew. And he says that in each of these categories, the one above it has a unique koach, a unique power, something above it that the previous category does not have. Obviously, the flowering plant, the tzomeach, has the koach hatzmicha, it has the ability to grow, it has the ability to change, which obviously a domain, a rock, does not have. And then we have the chai, the animal, which has the koach achias, the ability to live, to be a living organism, which obviously a plant does not have. And then you have the person, the medaber, which has the koach hadibor, the ability to speak, to communicate, which the animal does not have. Now we have the fifth category, which is the Yehudi, which is the Jew. So what is unique about the Jew? What does the Jew have that's different than the rest of than the medaber, than the rest of the human race? And Rav Volbi writes, what is the difference? What sets the Jew apart? It's his emuna. It's his bitachon. And it is in this way that the Jew differs from all the other nations. This is the secret to a survival. This is the answer to Mark Twain's question. It's our bitachon that keeps us going when things are dark and times are rough. It is the understanding that Hayipaleh me Hashem davar, is anything too wondrous from Hashem, for Hashem? And the hope of Yitzchak, Yitzchak, that we too will laugh as things can and will change for the better. This is also the praise of the Esh Hayil, the woman of valor. The pasuk in Mishlei, in praising the woman of valor, writes, "Vatischak liyom acharon." She will laugh on the last day. This is her praise. That she possesses this unique spiritual vision which allows her to perceive all of life as being in God's hands. She knows that no matter how difficult the situations are, Hashem is the master, and it can and it will change. Her bitachon is such that nothing is beyond Hashem, and that eventually she too, like Yitzchak, will laugh. So the question becomes, so how do we work on our bitachon? What do we do? The Sfas Emes writes, "De'ikar midas habitachon tzarech liyos be'esh sheholech tov la'adam." the main time to work on a person's bitachon is when things are good. Ki ikar habitachon hu be'es shalva be'es sheyesh lo hashpa'a shel ma shesarich shelo lasamiftacho b'kocho yisbarach. When do we work on our bitachon? When everything is good. When there's a time of plenty. When Hashem has given us all that we need. In fact, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu expresses this very concept. Yirmiyahu writes, "Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Arur hagever sheftach ba'adam v'sam basar zaro umin Hashem yasor libo. Curses the man who trusts in people and makes flesh and blood his strength and turns his heart away from Hashem. Such a person is cursed." But then we continue reading and we have the opposite, which the pasuk writes, a pasuk that we know very well, Baruch hagever asher yeftach b'Hashem v'haya Hashem yeftacho. Blessed is the man that trusts in God. Hashem will be his miftach, his security, his trust. So it's interesting. We have this contrast of this cursed man and this blessed man. And we look at the pasuk when it talks about the man who's putting his trust in God and he's blessed. And we have this bitachon twice. We have Baruch hagever asher yiftach b'Hashem v'haya Hashem miftacho. We have this. We have it repeated twice. Two times that we mention this bitachon. What is the pasuk saying? Blessed is the man that when things are good and everything in his life is going well, he recognizes it's all from Hashem. He lacks nothing. He doesn't place his trust in himself. It's kochi ve'otzem yadi. It's my power. I amassed this great fortune. I was so successful. Or in Yelavo, this person gave me the job. He really helped me. But rather, he knows that ultimately it's all from Hashem. And therefore, it is this person that when he enters an Eis Tzara, he can also see that the bad is from the same God. The same God that gave him the good is the same God that's bringing him this challenge, this nisayon. And in this way, v'haya Hashem miftacho, Hashem becomes his security, his trust, his leaning post. And that's how it is in life. It's through the good times in life when we recognize that all the good that we have and we recognize the source of all the good that we can understand that in the... that we have the ability to see, even in the bad, in the Eis Tzara, that it's also from God. Rav Dan Segel brings a mashal. He explains this concept. He says, like a mother. A mother is giving a bath to the child. And you know, most little kids, when they're born, they hate the bath. They have to get used to it. They scream, they cry, they kick. They don't want to be washed. They don't want to be bothered. But a child who realizes that this mother is just trying to take care of me and is trying to take care of my every need and help me succeed, he can come to the recognition that even if this is not so great, my mother's giving me a bath or she's forcing me to take this disgusting medicine, I know that my mother loves me and my mother cares about me and that ultimately it's for my own good. And the same is true with man. When we look at our life and we look at all the blessings in our life and all the great things that God has given us and we say, thank you, God, or we recognize, look what God has bestowed upon me. Look at all these amazing things that I have. When he comes to a time that's more difficult, he can understand that it's the same God that gave him the good. This is the same God, and ultimately there's something good in it. But a person who's, when things are good, he's just enjoying everything, and he's not thinking, and he's, you know, I did it, and I'm so great, and I'm so powerful, and I have a wonderful business mind, or I'm an excellent doctor, or I'm whatever I'm good at, which is true, but ultimately it is from God. When he doesn't realize that it's from God, when he comes to a time of tzar in his life, he points up to Shemayim and he says, look what you did to me, God. Come on, what's going on here? He can't recognize, but you did all those good things for me as well. So there must be something good in this. It's based on this that we can understand the Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah writes, Chayev adam levarech ahara k'shem shehu mevarech ala tova. A person has to make a blessing on the bad, just like he makes a blessing on the good. And he continues, Shene Amar, to quote the pasuk we just spoke about, V'yahates Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. You have to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your me'odecha. And then he continues to explain, what's levavcha, what's nafshecha, but I want to focus on what is me'odecha. And he quotes, he says, what is me'odecha? He brings two explanations. The first is, v'chol mamoncha, with all of your money. And the second, davar acher, v'chol me'odecha, b'chol mida u'mida shehu mo'deid lach. What does it mean, me'odecha? It comes from the word mida, measurement. Meaning in every measurement that God gives you, every little portion, every little pekula, you have to be able to, quote-unquote, love him. So I would ask you, it seems almost bizarre. We're talking about a person who has to look at the blessed upon the bad as he blesses upon the good. And what's the first explanation that the Mishnah brings? Money? What on earth does this have to do with this? In fact, in my opinion, if you were going to bring it, that should be the Dava Acher. What's the ultimate? That I have to understand that whatever God gives me, any Midah or Midah, any measurement, good or bad, I have to be able to love him throughout those things. That is really the focus. That is the most important. But the Mishnah is teaching us something fundamental. It's not out of order. No. This is the way it has to be. This is the order. Because when a person starts with the mammon, when he is able to recognize that the money is from really ultimately from Hashem, and all of my physical possessions and everything that Hashem gives me, all the good, it's ultimately from Hashem, I have a different attitude. I give my ma'aser, I give tzedakah, I try to do chesed with that money because I know that Hashem has entrusted it to me. And he really is the source. And when I work on this in this time of my life, then I'm able to carry it over to the times when Hashem's sending me these little pekulas, these midas, these different challenges that are not necessarily so easy. It's such a person who can weather the storms when things are good, when things become bad, because he has that recognition that this too, like the good, like the mammon, like the wealth, is also from God. This is the exact debate we find between Yosef and Paro. It's not a coincidence that during this time, Shabbos Parshas Chanukah, we read Parshas Miketz. We have in Parshas Miketz the story of Paro's dreams. Paro has a dream, and he dreams of seven big, beautiful, fat cows, and they're by the riverside. And then he sees these seven sickly, scrawny-looking cows. And what happens? The seven skinny cows go ahead and they swallow the seven fat cows. And after they do that, there's no evidence of it. You can't even tell. Paro looked at life and he saw this dream and he says, there's two powers in the world. There's this power of bad. It's not connected at all to the good. And even when the skinny cows eat the fat cows, there's no evidence of the fat cows. There's no evidence of the good because why? They are two distinct powers. You have the power of good in the world, and you have the power of bad. And when Yosef comes to interpret Paro's dream, what does he say? He says, Chalom Paro, Echad Hu. It's really all one, Paro. You're making a big mistake. Because it's those years, the seven fat cows, what do they represent? The 7 years of plenty, of bounty, when the earth was good and they were able to amass crops. It's those 7 years that we filled our storehouses with all those good things that's going to get us through the 7 years of the skinny cows, the 7 years of famine, of starvation. It's what we stocked up upon during the good times that's going to get us through the bad. Really, ultimately, there is good and bad. It's really all from one source. It's Echad Hu. Like we said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's all one. And this was the debate between Paro. It's the bitachon, the preparation that we have in the good times that gets us through the bad times. It's the Baruch HaShgever HaShreyev Tach B'Hashem. The man who can trust and recognize the good in his life when things are going well. The Hayashem Eftacho, that Hashem will be his security when things are bad. It's the person that knows how to approach his money and has the proper understanding of where it comes, that can come through, that can be Mevarech Al HaRa, Kishem Shemavarech Al HaTov. It's that person who has the ability to make a blessing upon the bad like he makes upon the good. Now, to remind you, we said that every month is assigned different things that allow us to understand the Koach of the month. We explained what Kislev was, it means trust. We explain the letter of the Samach, how it represents trust. So now I want to move on to the next thing in the month, the Mazel, the zodiac sign. What is the zodiac sign of the month of Kislev? The zodiac sign is a keshes, a bow. Also, can be, a keshes is a rainbow. When did God introduce the rainbow? When did God introduce the rainbow to the world? In Parashas Noah, after the Mabel, Hashem made a rainbow. But, ladies, do you know when Hashem showed the world the rainbow? In Chodesh Kislev, in our month. What is the rainbow? What does the rainbow symbolize? The rainbow was when Hashem sealed this covenant with the world that he would never again bring a complete nefilah, a flood, a destruction. The rainbow represented this continued existence.
But what is a rainbow?
A rainbow is when you take pure white light and you refract it into seven shades. And this really is our life, right? In life, we have light times, we have dark times. We have good times, we have bad times. But we have to remember and understand that all the hues, both dark and light, they all come from that same source. From the one source, that one source of pure white light. That's our bitachon. That it's all from God. That no matter what, He's there and supporting us. In fact, this concept of bitachon is found in the holiday of the month, in Hanukkah. The Sfas Emes writes that what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah comes from the words chanu ko. They took refuge, they encamped themselves in the word ko. What is ko? All the Nevi'im received Nevuah with the phrase ko amar Hashem. So says Hashem, except for one. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu received his Nevuah with the word zeh, this. Because every Navi, when they received their Nevuah, it was a little fuzzy. It was we call aspatilaya she'ena mi'ira. It wasn't clear. It was like that, when you're looking at the screen and things are kind of fuzzy. Moshe Rabbeinu had aspaklaria ha'mi'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu had that clear, perfect vision. The zeh, the ability to point. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, tzmunas Hashem yabit. He saw the tzmun of Hashem. He saw that full picture. He had that complete clarity. So, what was going on? We come to the time of Hanukkah. Things were not clear. No one could understand what was going on, right? We have the Greeks, and they're coming and they're persecuting the Jews. Many Jews assimilated, and the few Jews who didn't assimilate, who are trying to hold on to their heritage, they're being persecuted. It makes no sense. It's very difficult to understand, and they don't know how they're going to get through it. But what did they do? Chanu ko. They took refuge, they encamped in the words ko. That they knew that this time, even as difficult as it may have been, was ko amar Hashem. It was the words of God. And they had nothing else to do, so they placed their trust in God. And what happens? Ultimately, God delivers them a miracle. And we have these few people, the Na'atim, they're able to take on this huge army, the most powerful army in the world, and they're ultimately able to succeed. Because what? Hashem was supporting them, and Chanu Ko, they took refuge in the words Ko Amar Hashem, that even though it's very difficult, and I don't understand what's going on, I know that these are the words of God. The B'nai Yisachar writes that originally, when Hashem created the world, He created this beautiful light. It wasn't just light that things were bright, but it was a light of clarity that we could see and understand everything. But God decided that it was deemed unfit for this world, and He was gonaz it. He put it away, la'asid lavo, for the future, for the tzaddikim that would come in the future. But before He did this, Adam Harishon was able to enjoy this beautiful, special light for 36 hours. On Hanukkah, we light candles for 8 nights. We light a total of 36 candles. Because what are we trying to do on Hanukkah? We're trying to bring back that light from the time of creation. We're trying to illuminate the Yad Hashem in the darkness. That really, even through all the tough times, Hashem is really supporting us. And that this is the yesod of our bitachon, to bring this light back. And this is what we are doing during the time of Kislev, during the time of Hanukkah. If you look at the words, the letters of the word Nes, you can see this concept. We have the Nun, which represents Nefila, falling. The Nun goes down. It even goes beyond the line, right? You go down under. What happens when we feel like we're falling, when we feel like we have nowhere to turn, when we don't know what to do? We look to the Samach, the Nes, the Samach, the letter of Bitachon, the understanding that God is with me and enveloping and encircling me and allowing me to succeed and continue and to not fall completely. And that, when you put those together, becomes our Nes, becomes our miracle that helps us get through anything. The Pasuk in Zehillim writes, Gam choshech lo yachshech mimcha. Even darkness will not obscure anything from you. And the Kutzke Rebbe has a beautiful way of understanding this Pasuk. He writes, Gam choshech lo yachshech. Darkness, it's not really so dark. Mimcha, when we recognize that who's the darkness from? From you, Hashem. So when we have this hakara, this recognition that who is it coming from? This Hashem who loves me, who envelops me, who takes care of me, and I have this bitachon and this hakara, the darkness is not really so dark. And this is really our avoda in the month of Kislev. And this is the unique koach, the unique power that we need to tap into and access. We have to place our trust in Hashem and realize that everything is from Him. And that ultimately, nothing is too dark and nothing is too tough, because Hashem is supporting us and He will and can help us get through anything. Thank you.